Celebrate the inherent worth and dignity of each and every one of us. Hint, it's our first principle. Do I do it now? Today we will be sharing winter stories and songs related to paganism, Unitarian Universalism, and Islam.
Our chalice lighting today comes from the UUA website, because that's where I could easily find acceptable for everyone chalice lightings. We light this chalice today in honor of the Unitarian Universalist first principle, to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We recognize that these are not just words to be spoken. Instead, they call us out of our comfort into an ever-deepening commitment. A commitment we make to the rights of all whose inherent worth and dignity are denied, diminished, or destroyed by systems of oppression. And they call us into the practice of looking into our own hearts with courage and honesty.
Today, we are doing a service focused on the first UU principle. We affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We thought it would be good to provide some visibility to certain religions. We will honor paganism, Unitarian Universalism, and Islam. The first one we will be discussing is paganism. I can talk.
We begin by celebrating the pagan holiday, winter solstice, also known as Yule. Our first story is about the rebirth of the sun. This story begins in summer when the sun is getting tired and ends in December at Yule when it is reborn. So if any of the younger kids would like to come up and sit down, you're welcome to. Circle round, and I'll tell you about when the sun was born again. It was the middle of winter, and the sun had grown very old. All year long, the sun had worked very hard, rising and setting day after day. All year long, the sun had fed everybody on earth, shining and shining, giving energy to the trees and the flowers and the grasses so they could grow and feed the animals and birds and insects and people. Now the poor, tired sun could barely make it up in the morning, and after a very short time needed to sleep again, so the days grew shorter and the nights grew longer, until the day was so short it was hardly worth getting up for. Night felt sorry for the sun. "Come to my arms and rest, child," she said. "After all, I am your mother. You were born out of my darkness billions of years ago. Let me cradle you now as I shelter every galaxy and star in the universe." "Why does the dark last so long?" asked the children all over the earth. "Won't the sun ever come back again?" "The sun is very tired," the old ones said. "But maybe, if you children say thank you for all the things the sun does for us, the light may return in the morning." The children sang songs to the sun. They thought about all the things the sun gave them. Now, what are some things you can think of that the sun gives you? What are you thankful for from the sun? Vitamin D. That's a good one. Other ideas. Plants. Warmth. Yeah. Light. Gravity. Yeah, the Earth does. Yeah, gravity. Xander. Solar power. Yeah. Electricity. Getting down on that coal stuff. Radiation, I suppose. Fire? Suppose you could say that. All right. So the children said, "Thank you for growing the trees of the forests and the seaweed in the oceans and the krill that feeds the whales. Thank you for stirring the air and making the winds that bring the rain." Every time a child said thank you, the sun began to feel a little warmer, a little brighter. Wrapped safely in the arms of night, the sun grew younger and younger. The children decided to light candles for the sun. They lit candles because each spark was a spark of the sun's fire. They put their candles in very safe places and let them keep vigil for them as they slept and dreamed of a sunrise. And the sun peeped out from between the arms of night and saw all the candles. He began to feel warmer and brighter and younger still. The sky began to turn from black to indigo to blue. Slowly the sky grew light. A golden glow crept over the horizon. Night opened her great arms, and in a burst of brightness the sun appeared, new and strong and shining. For in the long night the sun had rested well and grown young from the songs and thanks of the children. Young as a brand new baby, born out of night once more. Everybody cheered, and the children jumped up and down. "The sun has returned, the sun is reborn," people cried. And they danced and sang to celebrate the birth of a new day, and then went home to breakfast. Thank you.
Chalukah is a unique celebration of our seven UU principles. Each year, it begins on the first Monday of December and it ends on the following Sunday. A chalice candle is lit each day in celebration of a principle. Today is the last day of Chalukah for 2019. Let's sing.
Our final religion to recognize is Islam. Lots of people argue over Christmas, whether it is a holy day to honor the birth of Jesus or a commercial secular holiday. Muslims are no strangers to arguments and have their own debates. Not the debates over whether Muslims should celebrate Christmas, which is something of an annual ritual for Muslims living in Western societies. I'm speaking about the other important debate, the one over whether Muslims should honor the birth of the Prophet Muhammad. And I apologize if I mispronounce any of this. I have no idea how this is pronounced, so just preemptive apology. Maulid, or Maulid al-Nabi al-Sharif, is the observance of the birthday of the Islamic prophet Muhammad, which is commemorated in Rabi al-Awwal, the third month in the Islamic calendar. Most, though not all, denominations of Islam approve of the commemoration of Muhammad's birthday, and Maulid is recognized as a national holiday in all Muslim-majority countries of the world except Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Because the Islamic calendar consists of 12 lunar months in a year, made of 354 or 355 days, the observance of Islamic holidays shifts slightly earlier each Gregorian calendar year, which is generally 365 days. This year, Maulid was observed last month on November 10th. Historically speaking, many Muslims have honored the birth of Muhammad in a ritual called the Maulid. These popular practices are festive occasions, often with decorations all over cities, featuring tents in which sweets and candy are handed out. Connected to these festivities is a whole tradition of devotional songs that portray Muhammad not simply as the deliverer of the last divine dispensation, the Islamic holy text, the Quran, but as being of cosmic significance, an opening of a channel of divine mercy onto this world, and a means of intercession for sinners. As we round out our offering of seasonal stories this morning, we bring you a children's story of the birth of the Prophet Muhammad. It was one starry night in the city of Mecca, holiest of places, that a very special child was born. The
The sky lit up from the east to the west, and even the little desert rabbits were curiously peeking their pointy ears and little heads out of their burrows. Something very special was happening. Someone very special was coming. In fact, the child's grandfather, Abd al-Muttalib, the grand chief of all Arabia, spent six days deciding on a name for the child. On the seventh day, he dreamed that the child's name would be Muhammad, which means the praised one. But what was stranger still was that when he went to tell the baby's mother, Amina, he found that she too had had the very same dream. And so they named the child Muhammad, the praised one. Baby Muhammad's father passed away before Muhammad was born. His name was Abdullah, and he would have been so proud of his beautiful little child. Oh, how beautiful a child Muhammad was. With eyes as deep and starry as the desert nights, and shiny curly hair like rolling waves on a dark sea. He had the most rosy red cheeks and the most handsome round face. It looked like the full moon on a clear desert night. It was the custom in those days for the women of the city to send their young children into the desert villages, where the air was fresh and the food was healthy. And also because amongst the desert village folk, the Arabic language was spoken very beautifully. The children would grow healthy and strong while they were there. Once every year, the desert women would come to Mecca to collect the young children, but Amina was a poor widow. Her husband, Abdullah, had passed away, and it seemed that no one would take her orphaned child, the beautiful baby Muhammad. The desert village folk were afraid no one would be able to pay them for looking after the little child, so they all walked away. At last, a poor woman named Halima agreed to take the child. She was a kind, generous woman, and seeing that no one else wished to care for the little baby, she decided to take him in. She already had a son of her own, a son about the same age as Muhammad. They can grow up together as friends, she thought, and play and go on desert adventures. As she traveled home, she wondered how she would feed the children. For back at home, her sheep and goats were thin, the crops had died, and her camels had no milk. She hoped that Allah would bless her because she had kindly taken in the orphan child. Her prayers were answered. When she returned home, her desert village and her little house, a wonderful sight met her eyes. The sheep and camels were fat and strong, their udders were full of milk. The small patch of grass around her tiny house had stretched out over the dunes and now looked like a green grassy meadow. The date palms, too, were bending over, heavy with all their juicy dates, and her house was full of every enjoyable thing, and bright and happy, too. This was a miracle, and Halima knew why. There was something special about Amina's beautiful child, something wonderful indeed. From that day, the little house in the little village in the desert was the happiest and brightest in the whole world, and in it, two little boys grew up healthy and strong. Happy days and happy months passed, and after 4 years... turn the page properly. And after 4 years, Halima was returning back to the city of Mecca. The time had come for her to return the beautiful baby Muhammad to his mother. By now he was a handsome little boy. Muhammad had grown to be a loving and gentle child with the best of manners and the purest of heart. Lady Amina was overjoyed. Her son Muhammad had returned, and she was impressed with how big and strong he had become. They hugged and kissed, and from that day on, they were inseparable. Lady Amina and Muhammad, her handsome boy. When we, the youth, planned today's service, we decided as a group that we wanted to share stories from legends and cultures other than our own. These are stories we may be unfamiliar with, but which give us insight about how others see the world. We believe inclusion matters. We believe every person is important. We believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And shout out to Pastor Emma. We know we're all in this together.
Now it is time for our closing words. Please join me in saying our closing words. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We believe that each and every person is important. Now please stand as you are willing and able for hymn number 235, Deck the Halls. This song This closing song is a non-secular tune to begin your happy holidays.